Let's look then at John chapter 10 and the verse number 1. And let's look at verse 1, the Lord Jesus, the speaker. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Here's our text tonight in the gospel message, verse 9. Jesus states, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Let's pray. Lord, just take away all distractions now as we center our thoughts around your word for these next few minutes. We thank you. We're very conscious that you're among us tonight. We thank you for these lovely hymns that we've been singing. We thank you for our brother Philip and for saving him and keeping him and how you're using him. And we pray your continued blessing upon his ministry in Kilray. Lord, I pray for help now tonight and pray for power and liberty. Pray that this might be a life-changing message in the heart of some individual here. In your lovely name we ask it. Amen. Folks, as I've said, it's verse number 9 today that I want to leave with you in the gospel message. Look at verse number 9. It's a well-known text, and I'm sure many of you learned it in Sunday school or as a small child. The Lord Jesus states, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And this, of course, is one of the famous "I am" statements made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And for you that study and read your Bibles tonight, you will be familiar with the other "I am" statements of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember in John chapter 6, he said, "I am the bread of life." And then in John chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world." Also in John 8, in the verse 58, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." John chapter 10, he said, "I'm the good shepherd." John 11, he said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." John 14, "I am the way, the truth and the life." And then in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the true vine." You see, when the Lord Jesus used that name, the "I am," the people knew that he was claiming to be God. And from this text tonight, I just want to keep the gospel message very, very simple and very easy to understand, that even a small child here tonight can understand exactly what I'm trying to say. We're not going to leave the text of Scripture tonight, and I want to leave four simple thoughts from it. Here's my first point if you're taking notes. We're going to consider the simplicity of the door. Did you get that? The simplicity of the door. Jesus states, notice, "I am the door." It's a simple illustration that we can all understand. Think about it. There's no big words. There's no difficult words. It's specific. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's clear. It's concise. It's definite. And this verse today tells us that a poor sinner can get right with God and ready for glory. I wonder tonight in our gathering, is there somebody here and you know deep within your heart you need to get right with God? You're not living a life tonight pleasing unto the Lord. Maybe a man in our gathering, maybe a woman, maybe a young person, maybe a boy, maybe even a girl. Well, as the pastor said, the Lord is among us tonight to change your life forever. He said, "With the two or three are gathered together in my name," he says, "I will be in the midst." And I believe that with all of my heart, that Jesus Christ is among us. And he is knocking at someone's heart this evening. There's many famous doors in the world, isn't there? There's the 10 Downing Street, the door there. There's the door of the White House. There's the Columbus doors. There's the door of Westminster Abbey. There's the door at the All Saints Church in Wittenberg, where Martin Luther nailed those 95 Theses, a door is a symbol of identity. And you know a house by the door and its number. Has anybody in Larne ever rapped the wrong door? It's not a nice feeling when you rap the wrong door. And quite often I would get addresses to go and visit different people. And quite often I would go to the wrong door. It's not a nice feeling. And even growing up on the wee streets of Belfast, it was never a nice feeling either when you had to knock somebody's door to get your ball back. Do you remember those days? Maybe some wee lady come out and chased you. But it's never a nice thing when you rap the wrong door. But friends, listen to me tonight. As I travel our province, there's many at the wrong door in relation to spiritual things. There's so many people and they're lost. And sadly, many don't even realize that they're lost. And many don't even think about eternity. Many never think that they're going to be next. Many people never think that they're going to die. And when we were out in the doors there on Thursday, I met a man down near the football ground there, and he was telling me at the doorstep that he had been in intensive care 3 times, and he came out of it. I said, "Sir, do you ever think what would have happened to you if you'd have died without the Lord?" He says, "What would have happened to me?" I says, "You'd have been lost and lost forever." I says, "I'm sure somebody was praying for your soul." He says, "There was." He says, "There were people praying for me." And I says, "Well, here I'm at your door today and I'm rapping your door to invite you to come to a gospel mission." And there was a man in intensive care 3 times. People were praying for him. And there he's come out of it. And wouldn't you think that would make him think? Has that been you, maybe? You were ill at the time and somebody had been praying for you. And you're here tonight and you've regained your health and strength. God has been good to you. And God has been good to many of us. If we're saved today, we have went through the door. And I would say the vast majority of people in the hall today could come up here like Philip for a few minutes and share a personal word of testimony. As I said earlier, isn't it great to be saved? Isn't it great to know your sins are forgiven? Isn't it great to be filled with the Holy Spirit and ready for heaven and ready for home? I look back on my life today and wonder where I could have been. Sadly, a different upbringing from Philip, never in Sunday school, never in a children's meeting, never in a church like this growing up, never hearing the gospel. Where could I have been tonight if somebody hadn't started praying for me? I'm so thankful to be here and to know that I'm born again of the Spirit of the living God. It's the greatest thing in the world to have the gift of eternal life inside you. And you don't fear death. And if you are a Christian in this meeting tonight, you rejoice in all that the Lord has done for you. And you say, "Lord, with this one life that I have, what can I do for you?" But friend, if you're not saved, you're still outside the door. The Bible makes it clear you're on the broad road. You're on the broad road that leads to hell and to destruction. And the wrath of God abides in you. But I would say you know that somebody's praying for you. Your godly mother praying for you. Your godly father praying for you. What a privilege. A neighbor, a work colleague, a friend, somebody who's brought you to this meeting today. They don't want you to be lost. They want you to be in heaven, round the throne, praising the Lord for all of eternity. And notice Jesus states, "I am the door." It's said in the present tense. Do you see that? He didn't say, "I was the door, I used to be the door, I will be the door." He states, "I am the door," and the door's not locked and the door's not closed tonight. It's still open. Praise the Lord. We're still in the day of grace. Jesus is passing this way. Maybe these 3 nights of mission has been organized just for you. And maybe you know this is your time. Maybe you were at another mission. Maybe you were at the Castle Gore mission. Maybe you were at the mission that we had here a few months ago for the week. And maybe the Lord spoke to your heart and the Lord was speaking to you and striving with you. And you're back again here today. But remember what the Lord reminds us in Genesis 6 and 3. Listen now. He says, "My spirit not always strive with man." Not always strive. But he's giving somebody here today, I believe, time and space to repent. You see, the Lord can speak through a sermon. Have you ever been at a meeting and you thought the preacher was talking directly about you? The night I got saved, as old Pastor McConnell preached about the cross, my heart was touched. I thought he knew I was coming to the meeting. He was talking all about my life. God spoke to me through a sermon about the cross. Listen, God can speak through sickness. I was with a man last Sunday there up in Craigavon Hospital, and he's 3 months to live. And he got one of my little booklets, Bain Time. And after reading that booklet, he started to experience conviction of sin. Because he says, John, when the doctor told me of 3 months to live, it makes you think. He says, when I was running about the farm full of health and strength and making plenty of money and busy, he says, I never thought about the Lord. But when the doctor tells you you have 3 months to live, it makes you think. God can strive and knock at our heart's door through a sermon, through sickness, listen, through sorrow. Through sorrow. You been at a funeral recently? You seen the coffin go down into the ground? Doesn't it make you think? Makes us all think. And it was Spurgeon that said, 6 feet of dirt makes all men equal. That's how my mother became a Christian. Growing up there in Sandy Row, went to Sunday school, got into her teenage years, and then drifted out into the world. But the death of her mother and the death of her sister, 2 deaths in a year, and she saw the coffin come down into the ground, she started to think, if that was me, where would I be? God can strive and knock at our heart's door through a sermon and sickness and sorrow. Listen, through a saint, another Christian. Have you noticed somebody has been converted recently, maybe in your family or in your workplace or even in the church here? It's been great to hear how God has been blessing and saving souls. You're wondering, can the Lord do it for me? Absolutely. This is how the Lord strives and this is how the Lord knocks, the simplicity of the door. Notice quickly and secondly, it's a single door. He states there, I am. Do you notice the phrase, the door? It's single. And this is the message of the gospel that we preach. And the pastor here preaches every week that it's only Jesus Christ that can save. And you have maybe known that from a child. And you're hearing it tonight again one more time. Only Jesus Christ can save. This is the message of the gospel. The Bible says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says Jesus told Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. The Bible says you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We're living in a day and generation, people don't like the word saved. But I believe that you must be saved. And the dying thief, do you remember? You know the story, Luke 23, he went to the right person. Coming to the end of his life, he cried, Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, he was desperate to be in heaven, wasn't he? Lord, remember me. Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that lovely to see people and they're desperate, they're wanting to be saved. And at some recent missions there, people were leaving the missions in tears, under conviction, wanting to be saved, not wanting to be lost and turning the car back and coming into the hall or coming into the church. In tears. Because they knew that the Lord was speaking to them. They knew that the Lord was the only one that could save them. Genesis 6 and the verse 16, we read of another door, don't we? The door of Noah's ark. And can you see Noah preaching for 120 years? There's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. There's a flood coming, warning the people. The people didn't listen to Noah. And the flood came. And can you see them running to the door of the ark? Can you see them rapping the door? Noah, let us in. Noah, will you let us in? But you read Genesis 7. God shut the door. Do you know what I was thinking earlier? How must Noah have felt in the ark? As he preached to all these people. And they never listened. And I'll be honest with you. There's nights I go home after a gospel mission. And you've preached your heart out. I'm sure the pastors here are the same. You've preached your heart out. And you go home and you can't sleep. And you think about the people that you've preached to, and you've seen them in tears, and you've seen them even shaken. And you know the battle's going on in their heart, but they leave. And they never make the move. And you're heartbroken. You're heartbroken. And I wonder how Noah felt in that ark. And Jesus says it's going to be like the days of Noah when he returns. Read Matthew 24 when you go home. Look at our world, folks. Isn't it a mess tonight? We need somebody to come. And the Lord has given us signs that he's coming soon. Look at Israel. Look at all that's going on there. Famines, wars, rumors of wars, pestilences. It's all there. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're living in it. And Jesus says, watch and be ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. What if he came tonight? Would you rise to meet him in the air? Or would you be left behind? Noah's world. And then also in Matthew 25, read of another door. The story of the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish.
Listen to Matthew 25, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They listened to this, and the door was shut. The door was shut. And they missed him. They missed him. Exodus 12, we read of another door. The night of the Passover in Egypt, you know the story. The children of Israel had to strike the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Listen to Exodus 12 and verse 13. God said, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The children of Israel were under the blood. They put that blood on the door lintels, they were safe. And friend, today I don't know who you are, but you need the blood applied to your sins. Listen to the Savior. He says, if you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot come. You die in your sins. I wonder how many people in Northern Ireland today have died in their sins. Isn't it great tonight to know that you're forgiven as a Christian? And you know your past. And I know my past. And the greatest thing in the world is to know that you're forgiven. There's still power in the blood tonight, isn't there? And I don't know what you have done in your past. I don't know the skeletons in your cupboard tonight, but you can leave this hall cleansed and washed in Jesus' blood, because there's still wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. And the old hymn writer penned that the blood was the sign, Lord, that marked them as thine, Lord, and brightly they'll shine at thy coming again. I want to remind you tonight, as Peter said, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I think I saw it on the Facebook page. I don't know if it was Paul that put it up or someone here of the Lord Mission Hall Facebook page about the Titanic and all the different people that were on the Titanic. And it was a good post. But really, they were just divided into two columns, the saved and the lost. That's all that was on the Titanic, the saved and the lost. That's all that's here tonight. If all of our names went under this big screen behind me into those two columns, saved and the lost, can you see your name up there? Just you. Not the person sitting beside you, just you, saved or lost. It's a terrible feeling to be lost. Have you ever lost as a wee child? Terrible feeling, isn't it? But to be lost spiritually and to be lost in hell forever and the lake of fire. Can you see people there tonight? Sat where you sat. Heard the best of preaching. Sang the hymns. Sat in Sunday school. But they died in their sin and they're lost. No wonder William Boo said, if I could send my young men to hell for 5 minutes, they would come back a real soul winner. My preaching would be different. I could get a glimpse of hell. The outer darkness, you don't want to be there, do you? The weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth. Preachers are afraid to mention hell today. But the Lord Jesus spoke about it many times in the New Testament. Listen, the simplicity of the door, it's a single door. Notice the scope of the door. Do you see the text? He states, of any man. And this is why the message of the gospel burns within my heart, because Jesus says any man can come, and you can come. And friend, just come as you are tonight, and the Lord will take you in. Many people think they have to clean this up first and the other thing first in their life. The Lord says, come as you are and I'll clean you up. And if you come to him tonight, listen, a miracle will happen. The lovely Holy Spirit will enter into your body. It's a miracle. As the wind bloweth, thou canst hear the sound thereof. Whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every man that is born of the Spirit. And the lovely Spirit of God will come and live within you. And he'll give you a new heart and a new tongue and a new mind. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? And the Lord will save you. He'll keep you. He'll satisfy you. Many of us have experienced this. And you can have it tonight. Jesus welcomes all groups of people, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, Protestant, Catholic. Somebody sang at a recent mission, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Do you remember when Paul went to Corinth? Paul preached the old-fashioned message of the gospel. And you take a note of 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 to 11. You read about fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate and a whole list of deep-dyed sinners. And they were all saved. And they were all changed. and they were added to the church. And even as one preacher put, the sea, the children can come. Any children here today, boys and girls, you can come to the Lord. I think it's 83% of conversions are between the ages of 4 and 14 because their weak heart is softer. And see, if you work with children today, do keep at that because that's a tremendous ministry. Children can come. And then, oh, any old people here tonight, you can come. I spoke to a man in Lisburn not that long ago, and he was 91, and he told me he had plenty of time to be saved. I said, sir, you're in the departure lounge at 91 years of age. 91, and he's believing the devil's lie that he's plenty of time. Then middle-aged, they come. Everybody is welcome. Isn't this a wonderful message tonight? The Lord welcomes all sorts of people. People from all sorts of backgrounds. And maybe you're saying, I've done awful things. I won't be able to keep it. I've left it too late. Jesus says, if any man. And we often preach the gospel in that great text, Revelation 3:20. What is it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Again, he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. And he with me. Is he knocking? And you know he's knocking, friend. Don't turn him away. It's a terrible thing when you knock somebody's door and you know somebody's in, but they don't answer. Have you ever had that experience? You know somebody's in that house, but they don't come and answer. And maybe tonight you'll refuse the Savior again as he's knocking and he's striving, and maybe it could be your last time. Do you know what old Spurgeon said of Judas? He kissed the door to heaven and he went to hell. Judas. You see him tonight in hell lost. He saw miracle after miracle. He preached. Judas kept the money. Did you always get somebody that's trustworthy to look after the money in a church or a mission hall? And Judas kept the money. And he's lost. Oh, Judas. Judas would do anything to be here tonight. But he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And only you know what you're selling your soul for. If I went down and asked you today, why are you not a Christian? Why are you not saved? You know what you're selling your soul for. Friend, as we finish, every eye's on me today to believe that the Lord is speaking. And I believe this message is for somebody here. Listen as we close, the simplicity of the door. It's a single door, the scope of the door. There's 9 o'clock. And then finally, notice the security of the door. I am the door, he says, by me if any man enter in. Here's the security. He shall be saved. It's great to be saved. Know that you're saved. Perhaps there's somebody in our gathering tonight and you're not sure if you're saved or not. Come and talk to us after the meeting. There's a wee room there at the back. Just stay on where you're at or walk out and come back in again. And some of us tonight can open up the scriptures and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. If you're always lacking assurance, you'll never have any peace or any real joy, or you won't go and tell anybody. I had a mission there in Cookstown last year, and you know that there was 3 people actively involved in that church. And they came to me at that mission and they said, John, we're involved in this church. And we don't know if we're saved or not. 3 people couldn't believe it. And they were heavily involved in the church. And we're able to open up the Word of God and show them how that they could know for sure that they are saved. And if that's you tonight, I want to leave 3 quick points to help somebody here. If you're lacking assurance, now listen carefully. The Word of God makes me sure. Over the promises in the Word of God, there's so many promises where the Lord wants us to know for sure that we're saved through the Word of God. And then listen, the work of Christ makes me sure. Jesus paid it all on the cross. We can't add to that. And then finally, listen, the Word of God makes me sure. The work of Christ makes me sure. And the witness of the Spirit makes me sure. Know you not that your body, Paul says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost? There's someone living inside us today that we're saved. And we know that he's inside us. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. John 7:38. We know that someone is living inside us. And you can have it if you will come as he's knocking. And you will say from the bottom of your heart, Lord, I want you. Lord, I want to be sure. Lord, I've drifted. Lord, I am like the prodigal son. I'm out in the far country. But tonight, Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. But Lord, now I'm coming home. Would you do that tonight? And say, Lord, from tonight, I'm getting back to you. Getting back to him first. As he's knocking. Thank you for listening. May God bless these few simple thoughts from this very simple gospel text. And I pray that you'll come to the cross tonight. Can you see the Savior there? Down there for you? Does it ever touch your heart? Do you ever shed a tear thinking about it? Does it mean anything to you? Beaten? He was mocked? He was humiliated? Isaiah says that he was marred more than any man. And he went through it all for somebody like me. He went through it all for somebody like you. My friend, if you reject that, God will reject you. That was his only beloved son on that metal cross dying there for you. Dying there for a wretch like me. I pray that you'll come. Let's pray. I'm just going to leave a moment's quietness. As we've considered this text tonight, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. And that speaks, of course, of the fellowship with the Saviour. Maybe tonight, you know, this is for you. You want to get saved. You want to enter in. Right now, tell the Lord you're coming. And pray from the bottom of your heart, Lord, save my soul. I want to repent of my sins tonight. Begin to follow you. I'm not going to put it off any longer. Maybe you've drifted. You're coming home tonight. Say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. And even as a Christian, let's pray that the Lord will fire us up in these last days. The days of Noah, the days of Sodom. He says, occupy till I come. He says, the night cometh when no man can work. Let's get on fire for the Lord in these last days. And let's burn out for him. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Lord, we believe that you're knocking at somebody's heart tonight. Lord, we think of that great text that we mentioned, that your spirit not always strive with man. And for that individual tonight, who's halting between two opinions, who's like Agrippa, almost persuaded. Oh God, I pray that you'll bring them right through before it's ever too late. In your lovely name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening so well.